We're not looking for better ideas. And I think that that is a critical distinction, especially for this group of people. Okay? So, shall we have a little 10 minutes on the difference between those two? Okay? Who would start off our little discussion? Dave?
Well, I think what you guys really need to be doing is really going in a different new direction, where you sell wine and olive oil.
That is a perfect example of a gentleman. Tell you the truth, I actually thought of it myself. I've also thought that this place would be a great place for weddings. Yeah, if we ever just, you know, want to move to a better internet service location and use this just for Jim?
Well, it's an example of the same thing. A concrete example where we sent out an email earlier in the week and said, ask for feedback about, you know, we're just wondering, there aren't that many sign-ups for the March 21 workshop. And most people sent back feedback. You know, well, I'd love to, but, you know, with my kids in the house, it's awkward, or I have another thing going on, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then we had a few that were in the better ideas category. Like, one person took the opportunity to tell us, you know, what you need to do is go through your finances line by line, and things like, you buy this certain brand of cheese, and what you need to do is buy this other brand of cheese. And then that was...
And trust me, that's not an isolated example.
Yeah.
That's why in every email I send out now, I try to emphasize, it's your ideas are something you will do. Okay. I mean, one person sent in, like, close to 3 pages on how we can sell things on eBay. You know, all you need to do is, and it's like, do we need another full-time job? Pardon me, could you... Great! Would you do that for her? I mean, she actually already does it. That's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... So, yeah.
So, in this... Yeah, in this case, the email that Penny will read in a minute is an email that's going out to everyone. And so feedback might look something like, yeah, okay, so because we can't know, we're not people out in the world, so we don't have that perspective. So someone's out in the world and... Oh, well, you know, that point wasn't quite clear to me if you made that point. You know, things like that.
That feels harsh. Or
exactly.
Whatever it is, but it's your experience rather than, oh, well, I think it would be, and then whether it's olive oil and wine or, you know, buying different cheese or starting an eBay business, you know, it's what we really need is, well, you'll hear what one person did, going through practice and having a practice experience in relation to it. So, yeah.
You went kind of the opposite of sensation. You know, it doesn't put it back on you. It's all about the receiver.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, we... Yeah, Michael, just one second. You know, we understand... you know, June edits for me, and the thing that I said to her this morning is that she... What makes her good at what she does for me is that she has managed to... maintain the ability to know what things sound like to people who live in the world. That is so far gone from my experience. I mean, there's just no relationship. So all I do is say what I see, and I say it in the way that inspires me. If other people hear it, see it that way, then they'll have the same experience. If not, they won't. If they're doing this practice, then they will either like it and feel good or dislike it and not feel good. In either case, hopefully they will use it as a way to look inward to see what's going on with them. So that's why this, because truly, I don't know. June has, you know, her take on it, and so I would like to hear what other people who are somewhere between those two worlds experience it as. Yeah, Michael.
Good ideas often make a lot of sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
And an example, I think is the new energy through left pass through right. So my idea is to lightly close the hand and the toes. It makes sense because palms and bottom of the foot.
But then, when at age 30, you're hobbling.
But if someone really thinks that, we should do that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When we hear something from our conditioning that really resonates with our conditioning, we feel right. Okay? God is in heaven and all is right in the world. And that very experience is one that we are strongly attempting to go beyond in practice. Because when we talk about listening to the authority, you know, the fantasy of authority, that's it. That's where people look for guidance. That's where they get information. That's how they know they're doing the right thing. And it is exactly 180 degrees in the wrong direction. So that's why better ideas, the whole subject of better ideas, is such a big deal in this practice. You know, in a lot of practices, better ideas are, well, in the world, better ideas are called initiative. Okay? In most practice places, they're called, we can use you. Okay? Because you're going to be somebody who will go out and take something on, and we don't have to bother about you. Okay? So, you know, if you go to most places to do practice, you will be asked what your skills are. And they're not going to ask you that so they can do the opposite, which is why we would be asking. They're doing it because if you're, you know, if you have computer skills, good. We've got a computer part, the department we need you in. If you've got, you know, so taking, you know, it's very hard when you're getting support for conditioning to recognize conditioning for what it is and then to take the step of letting it go. It's really quite terrifying because, as we know, what we're turning to is something that people don't know they have a familiar relationship with. Mm-hmm. So it feels to most people in the beginning like I'm going to let go of my security blanket and step off a cliff. So that combination is difficult for most people. And it requires a great deal of support. And part of what this is about, the vast majority of people walking on this earth would never make a choice like this in this lifetime. That's not to say they wouldn't make a choice like this, like what I'm describing. You know, let go of ego, choose life. They might make that in some lifetime if we all last long enough, not us personally, but as a species. I suspect that all people will. That's the Bodhisattva vow. You know, we're not going to enter nirvana until all beings have entered. So, you know, there is sort of a spiritual idea that this is going to go on for a while. In the short term, no. Because, now again, you know, you've been doing this for a lot of years. And witnessing it for even more years than that. People will get to a certain point, conditioning freaks out. They're gone. Mm. Conditioning presents them with something else that seems just as good, better, actually, and isn't so hard. Okay? And if we're used to, well, if the left hand works, then think what we can accomplish if we have the left foot. if we're used to following the logic and the guidance of conditioned mind, then when presented with that, a flag won't go up that says, whoa, wait a minute, what am I listening to here? We're just going to say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So the thing is this, just for everybody, a little words to wise, never go for the thing that makes sense. Never, ever choose the thing that makes sense. Always go for the one that you have to get. Like that. Okay? Until you've got that, until it is that, you don't have it. Dave, and then Therese, and then David, and then we're going to move on.
I was going to comment that I think that's the reason why it seems like people are confused, or some people either have trouble getting the messages that have been coming up on Monastery recently, or are not stepping up to the plate and contributing. It's because I think people are living in that world that you're talking about. You know, here, all of the, everything around says, you know, look what's going on. You know, look to see where that's coming from. But, you know, people aren't living in that world most of the time. And so, you know, the message comes out from here, and then by the time it lands out in Cincinnati or someplace through somebody's computer, it's been translated into something completely different. And people, you know, people who do practice seriously, I think, are get that, and they're the ones who are contributing a lot of times. But it feels like, you know, I can tell from the emails that are coming in that sometimes it doesn't land in the context that it came out from. And there's like a... Like
well, there is a context for it landing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, yep. That's the difficulty. Mm-hmm. And of course, this whole process that we're going through is trying to stay in a conversation about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that people need to choose this. It's that we need to get clear on who is and who isn't. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's all that's going on. If somebody doesn't want to do this, it's great. But we all need to know that that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the days are really over for us, where we have the resources to simply indulge conditioning. Mm-hmm. That's really where we are.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that we would, you know, spend 20 out of 24 hours just mostly in relationship with conditioning. And it's no longer that time. So that's what this conversation is about. And so my only concern ever is, are we doing the best job we can do to make practice available for people? That's all we can do. And sometimes we miss. Probably a lot of times we miss. But that's still the best we can do. There's nothing actually in Buddhism that requires us to attempt to save anybody. Remember? You must work out your own salvation diligently. So we are each responsible for our own salvation. And we don't want to interfere with anyone. We don't want to make anything harder for anyone. So, yeah, that's the intent for this. And look, and the conversation will go on for as long as the conversation goes on. Now, and then it'll go, but then whatever happens next will happen next. You know, there's so much to have faith in.
Well, as we're talking about this, it really, the better idea, to me, I just connected it really with enables the enabler.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
In so many ways. And so I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for all of this. I mean, it just, I know everything, you know, we hear it when we get out of this, and I just feel so much in relationship to center.
Yes.
More than ever.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's like, who knows how it happened, but drop the conversation, and it's just been incredible.
Yes, and I would really like, as we said, this group of people and the, you know, the, I don't know, 5 or 10 other people that we know would do very well in this group and really need to be in this conversation. For us to continue, and not only continue with this kind of conversation that we've been having this week, But also, I was looking, and now I'm not, you know, I'm not intending to go anywhere right away. Although, we never know. I'm the author good. I will go ahead of most of you. Not all of you, but most of you. And I realize when I look at that, because I look at it a lot. And the reason I look at it a lot is the wound in it. You know, I hear a lot about what goes on in people's lives. And I know the dread and the fear that people approach. You know, the Buddha talked about old age, sickness, and death, and my line always is, and you're really lucky if it happens in that order. There's just such a horror for most conditioned people about that whole subject, and especially about death. And I would really like this group of people to do some work together on that subject, on really moving to a place where practice offers us a lack of anxiety about the future, a sense of confidence about being able to face any life circumstances, and especially death. I put that out just as something that not for anybody. I'd be happy to do a death and dying workshop for a group of random people. I truly would. But I want to do some work that doesn't involve. Now, what are some personalities? Okay, I mean, at a certain point for me as a teacher, it's an act of compassion. In a room full of people who know what or have some idea of what I'm talking about, and rather than that, you know, you almost get somewhere and I hope people know what I mean by that. I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, you have to censor what you ask because it might be perceived as a naive. I'm not saying that. It's just that I think that the quality that everybody in this room shares is the one that I mentioned. Something happens and I know where I need to look is here. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm kicking and screaming and getting the conversation out, well, let's see. I know ultimately it's got to come back to resolution here. And that's all I mean by that. So, you know, this week, you know, people have talked about getting kind of seriously identified in different places, and probably some of you were pretty seriously identified and didn't talk about it. But we know that. So we practice, we know that we're going to run into really nasty spots and we're going to get completely identified and, my God. And then we're going to do practice and we're going to get over it. And we're going to get back on track and we're going to keep going. So that's some work that I would like to, for myself, I would like to begin to do. Because there's a way, I was looking at this morning, as a matter of fact, I'm very casual sometimes about things that are frightening to people. And I'm casual about them because they're not scary to me. And that's nice for me. But I would like to expand the circle a bit. Because how nice for me, but as I said often, it doesn't help anybody else that I don't have a fear of death. I would like everyone to move in their practice to that place. Because moving to a place of a lack of fear of death, you know, you really don't have to worry about what the economy is doing. You don't really have to, you know, all of these things that people are so terrified about come down to a fear of death. Mm-hmm. And the lack of fear of death comes down to, I'm going to be all right no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be all right as long as there is an I, he needs to be all right. And when there isn't any longer, all that's going to be left is all that is, and there is no doubt about his all rightness. So to have that experience, to know that place, offers not only a comfort that is the point, really, of what the Buddha taught, but it also conveys an authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it is that place of knowing that the deepest level is all fine. There aren't any mistakes. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing that's going to happen to anybody that is not a part of a very compassionate and ultimately benign reality. Finish with trees, because was there more?
Well, that just, and I was, as you were saying all this about death, too, I project that people are afraid not just of themselves dying, but of other people.
Oh.
So that sense of, and it just comes back to here again, everything will be all right.
Yes.
And there was a Zen story, too, about, you know, death and how it's simply just washing your cup, you know, mm-hmm. and then putting it in the tray to dry. I have to go back and look at it, but
yeah.
Because when my friend Judith died, there was something around that. Like, she had just come to peace with so many things
yes.
that all, simply her, sort of, her death was just drying the cup.
Yes. And it's a gift to be with someone
right.
When they are in that place. And it is a horror to be with someone when they are not.
Yeah.
And so we all want to be in that place mm-hmm. For ourselves and for anyone who might like to make use of us.
Well, thanks for that. That's really helpful. Getting back to the idea of good ideas and feedback, I was kind of looking at that in the context of being a contribution, participating. Definitely that identified in the last couple of days pretty severely with that whole notion of how to be a contribution. What I'm noticing with that, the conversation was happening this morning, is the pressure that is being kind of in this dialogue to be a contribution backs the person who's believing it into such a space that the only place to look is to more condition. And then, so this is how you can be a contribution comes directly from condition, which there's the awareness that that's not going to work.
That deep intuitive sense. I'm actually going to be a contribution.
And then it loops around again to the point of like, well, I'm generally going to say it. And then there's the kind of takeover. It's that small person again, kind of pulling out all the mentor tricks on you, and everybody shared so much this week, and I was kind of practicing all last night. Just this huge wave of, the stuff or whatever, mm-hmm. I don't really want to go into it, but, just that whole sense of just really, really wanting to be a contribution, really, really wanting to participate in all of this, and kind of recognizing that, as I mentioned earlier in the week, I don't mean to sound crass about it all, but seeing this is like one set of content. And then, of course, when I move forward, there's going to be other sets of content. So kind of seeing the ones to participate and be a contribution and really show up, not in terms of just this is the content, but just in my life and in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm kind of just kind of backed up in that space.
Well, if I may, break the fundamental associations. I heard a rumor, actually, that there's a project that you might be engaging in that would be a tremendous contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. And that really came up for me. And I knew that that was there, and I know that I'm going to get involved with that. Like, there's absolutely no, there's no confusion on that at all. And yet it felt, when I kept, unfortunately, I kept looking at the conditioning to see if maybe that would be something that I could go for. It was like, no, that's not, that doesn't, no.
And, you know, the project, it just, let's just say it's a blog about a life experience that you're having. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, what makes it so perfect, is that it's a format for you being able to articulate everything that's going on. Not just specific pieces of information, not conditioning's idea about how this should look or how this should happen. Because what conditioning is doing to you is one of the really essential parts of the story. Mm-hmm. With me?
I'm lost on what you
mean. That's okay, it's being recorded. So, but I'll say it anyway. Yeah. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to blog about an experience in my life. And as I'm writing, conditioning is going to say, you can't say that. That's not it. You can't say that. People are going to think you're crazy. You can't. No, you can't say it. And what you're going to do is write all that. Which is going to be as helpful to people as what it is that you're writing about. Mm-hmm. Because that whole thing is what everybody goes through. Mm-hmm.
No, that's the exposing
all of it. And what it will do for you, of course, is get it out of here mm-hmm. and into there. And is it going to be intense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if that is the last thing in the world that conditioning ever, I mean, its whole thing is set up to avoid an experience like that, of being revealed in that way. Because as we know, it only has power because it remains in the shadows and scares the poop out of people So to just lay it all out there,
thank you.
Yeah, you stay in touch. It's not going to be easy. Okay. Actually, I'm going to ask Tracy, and then truly, honest to the Buddha, we are moving on.
It's amazing. It's helping me on transitions. It's been like really heightened for me. And this whole notion of like that space between like I'm identified with here, like you know I'm identified with one thing, my hermitage, and then New York kind. And it's like, why is it that's so tricky about it? And it's like this sense of like you don't really know who you are, you know, kind of losing it. And there's something that I really want to. Because they never talk about it. And a couple weeks after Luke died, I was here at a retreat, and a friend of mine who had anorexia died while I was here. And it was like it was, I could kind of see when she kind of was achieving survival system. So it was like it was okay, you know, with Luke, he was kind of, you know, he just, his body just came out and then it was okay. And then about 2 weeks went by, my brother came up first. And, and even this time, it was okay because I was like, I was this little kitty that followed me everywhere. and my brothers talked and felt it over. And I'll just put that because I don't want anybody who's in condition mind to, you know, talk to me about it. And so there's grief because I really miss her. It was such a surprise. What I know is that I was there for all of it, every second of it. It was just a horrible scene. And even though it wasn't my fault, it's so out of my control. There was nothing anybody could do. And so I think about that out of control place. And I think if I can just keep being there, that even though I see so much is out of my control, I'm not going to go to a place of feeling bad. And I know it's not my fault. And so, you know, talking about that whole thing of transitions and death, and there's still grief, you know. And I mean, it's funny because it's like, I keep saying, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Because, I don't want to talk to people about it. I don't want them to say, like, well, you know, should you have done this or should you have done that? And I don't want to go there because it just... You know, the whole thing was such a surprise. And so I think about that in transitions. And thanks for just letting me say this, because it's just so good to just talk about, because my family members don't even know. And it's just too hard, you know. And I think like this whole week is just so many pieces are coming together, and it's like, if I could just be there, then there's not going to be anybody to beat up. But no, it's not. There's nothing I can do. And so much of life is like that.
Yes, I would say all of life is like that.
Yeah, and as soon as we slip off, you know, into, you know, there's a second relationship to me. Yeah, it was so fast. I mean, if I was even gone to, like, I'm the caretaker, you know, I'm responsible, she came to me, but it's like, occurring. It happened so fast. And so, I mean, I guess I even tried calling into the radio show after it happened, because I was actually mad. I was, like, angry to practice, because I was, like, caught, you know, it's like, why would you want to be present for something so horrible? And even I'm so grief and the loss, and you know, the faith and everything. It's like, why would you take the two things that brought me so much joy away? You know, because it's the same month. And then I'm glad I didn't get on great Bishop, because I mean, now you see, like, came into the blessings of all his life. When you picture, like, that's the most horrible thing that can happen, you know, and then know that. If you're there, it's like there's some sense of, like, it's not okay, but it's like, I was there, you know, so there's no residual, there's no, like, suffering.
Yes.
Like, there's pain.
Yes.
But there's no suffering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what an important lesson to have to put to rest. That idea that you do have control, that if you had only, if this had, if, because you, what, the gift that Rebecca gave you is, no, actually don't have any control.
Yeah.
And so there's no sense in resurrecting that in some other moment where conditioning can come in and say, yeah, but it's your fault because you should have, because you know that that's not true.
I know it's not true, you know, it's funny because even I thought in this routine, you know, the interesting karma is that, you know, maybe, I mean, who knows, maybe who knows what'll happen, but, you know, maybe she jumped because she wanted me to get that it wasn't, because, you know, I had a trauma when I was a little girl, and I was, like, I will never take care of another animal because something bad can happen, you know, and all the animals I have, including Luke, wasn't mine to begin with. you know, and so it was almost just like,
people keep worrying me.
And then, you know, I thought, God, you know, who knows, maybe it was her thing, just like, I'm sacrificing my life, you can get this, it's just not your fault, this crazy stuff happened, you know?
Well, you know, I try not to get into belief systems, but and I don't. But that one is not hard for me to imagine as a perfectly viable explanation of what everything that goes on.
Yeah.
It truly. However that all goes together, it's really just too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is just too perfect. The things that, a couple of days ago, everybody has the best seat. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody rails against their life circumstances when it's not the way they want them to be, and everybody is having the exact perfect life circumstances for what they need to see, embrace, let go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how or why it works that way, but it certainly seems to.
Yeah, you're right, and it's like, God, I never would have picked this, because
never.
It's fun, but it is the sense that, you know, it's like, you know, we can just, like, yeah, do the best we can, and, you know, show them as present as we can, and just all this crazy stuff can happen, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had actually had one of those this morning. I spoke with Jen briefly, and Veronica, everybody knows Veronica. So she had her C-section, and she has a little thing, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Got the infection, went to the bad side of the hospital, right? We got her into the good side of the hospital. Her husband, in his infinite wisdom, decided that she's actually bewitched.
Mm-hmm.
Took her out of the hospital and is going to take her to a witch doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just go to this, what I wrote to Jen was something along the lines of, it's sometimes it's hard to be a good sport and keep a perspective in the face of human insanity. You know, I mean, it just over and over and over, you know? I mean, I don't know if you wanted to kill your brother, but that's just my reaction to life.
You know, what was so amazing is, like, all I felt like I could say to myself was, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. That's what I said to him, like, I'm so sorry, because I knew that it wasn't his fault either, you know? It was just, the whole thing was so out of control.
Yes.
And so that's really, I actually did it, you know? And I'm sorry for all this. Everything happened here at the same house at the same time.
And that's kind of where I got to this morning when you were in the process. You know, there's a part of me that just, you know, wants to call her names,
you know,
and part of me then wants to call her names for being in relationship with somebody so deserving of being called names. And then there's just kind of a, what am I going to do? You know, the only thing left at the end of all of this is love. It's, you know, it seems like it's our only choice. So it just occurred to me that maybe love is what we find when all the expectations are gone.
Mm-hmm.
When nothing should be any different from the way it is, then that's
Anytime.
Now, see, I think we should wait on that. People's hearts are too open. We have to talk them into a more. I'm sort of getting an answer, if not. So let's hold off on that for a minute. What else is on our agenda for today? Oh, I know one thing I wanted to say. You know, with all my nonsense about difficult people and you know, I hope what you get out of that is that, well, several things actually. It's okay to have a sense of humor. In fact, it's essential. You know, even if you don't let anybody else know that you can see the humor in it, you don't want to lose it for yourself. You know, because by and large, you know, so much of what we, you know, in the face of the kinds of things that we look at here, so much of what we do and suffer over is just plain silly. You know, it really is. You probably, you're not going to do irreparable damage to anybody. Okay? You're just not. It's perfectly fine to say, I don't know. General Sarah Palin. I'll get back to you can say I'm sorry. It's fine. If you know, if you really said or done something that you did it was not a good thing, saying, I'm sorry, I missed that completely, or I was off the mark, or whatever. So mostly with this week, to be using those basic tools that you have, stick with those. And then if you get into a bad situation, do the best you can, and know that you're going to use it as a training opportunity. You know, you'll probably survive it. You will make it out of the room. You can get support. And above all, you know, don't let this ever give you an assessment. So that's what I hope people got from this week, from the bottom line on facilitation skills and techniques.
Now, often during this week, what has come up for me in the context of this retreat, there are new paradigm and guidelines for living sessions that you really speak on with what you're doing, which is the practice and all the presence.
Yes, our new living compassion paradigm
and the guidelines are take care, bring it to the team, and enjoy the ride.
So did we put those out to people?
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Okay, so that might be a good thing for people to kind of jot down or for us to send out to folks, because mm-hmm. if everybody hangs it on the front of their computer screen, then we will all, or wherever, those of you who don't have a computer screen, you know, put it somewhere where it's in the front of your conscious awareness. Yeah, they really do speak to this. That's great.
And the other thing that came to me this morning was that what it felt like to me is what this week has been about is that we really are being asked to really facilitate this practice in any way that we can in any situations that we're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not just about having a group and practicing it, but we're listening that it feels like we're really being asked to, you know, have practice as what our being is in the world.
Yes.
In any moment.
Yes. People of practice, people of peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sort of going to what you were speaking of, with death and dying, or with the same thoughts of that, I'm wondering if conditioning coming into some of this, you know, who's saying it. But it feels like having listened to somebody from this group, go beyond reflecting, the possibility of going beyond reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
But I was
very strong idea.
Supportive. Yeah. At the conference, and I've called the Protester Edition that I just performed this before. And that's a wonderful way to, it doesn't matter. It's all good. But to have this group would be just a blessing.
Yeah, that is such a good idea and such a good point. Because one of the big struggles, and it's something that it would be good for us to talk about, because the little parable that I offer you, you drink Diet Coke. That doesn't seem very Buddhist. Always from an authority on Buddhism. So I think that as you are out there more, you can expect more of that kind of thing. So you might think about how you want to respond to that. But part of it is putting oneself in a position of being honest about what's going on when there's somebody that you're talking to who you know is judging where you are in practice based on what you're talking about. So we'll get that here. We'll get it at a TINW. I mean, people who literally just fell off the pumpkin truck. The response is, well, geez, what's the point of doing this practice when, monks have been doing it for years and look where they are? It's like, somewhere that you can't even imagine. To have a place where people can authentically talk about what's going on with them and be reflected and not have the other person thinking, geez, she's been doing that for 20 years. She's still struggling with that? Would be a relief.
And I want to throw in with that. I'm happy to take the responsibility for,
for organizing it. Excellent. So we'll get email addresses. People aren't going to send anything out to the email address group without authorization. But you can let people know that that's the case. Deb, let it be known that she's in a particularly stressful time in work life and would like some extra support, and ask the board for reflective listening buddies. And I think you have like 7 or 8.
I'm the richest gal in the world.
I think that's an excellent idea, and we can make that happen. Okay.
So if there could just be a month that we check in with everything.
And so probably the what's the easiest? Just the registration office, and we'll get the put the email addresses for everybody, and then if people want a buddy, that we can just do first one, second one, third one, fourth one,
RCBLB. Reflective Better Find Trying Out with
Rebecca.
I want to just put out there that I hope this won't be in replacing our reflective listening buddy participation, those of us that are doing that, because it's so valuable to have this experience pool of people to partner with folks with. So.
Oh, no. I think it's a completely extra. No, that really is, and that's a good point. That's a real service experienced Sangha can offer to new kids, as well as a protection for people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dangerous to to people who don't know what they're doing.
And then the other thing that came to me after a group last night about the supporting the foundation was, in this conversation this morning, it just reinforced this, how important it is for us to get here to the monastery, literally, to the source, and to I like that better than leadership myself. Yeah,
I'm Trekkie, you're a Christian.
I never thought I was a Christian.
People that were out in the world facilitating and to the monastery, because what occurred to me around, I was looking at my process around that conversation last night, and
you know, basically the long and short of it is, here I have this open heart. I'm writing checks that I would never have written at home, you know, and I'm volunteering for things that, you know, so there's just an open-heartedness that, you know, it's hit or miss back there. And so to get here, and I guess really one reason I want to put that out is for my own commitment to just get myself and encourage those I'm facilitating to actually get their bodies here.
Yeah. And for a retreat that has a chance of that's long enough to wear people down, wear conditioning down. Speaking of which,
yes, and then I have something to say to you. Just a short thing. I'm just going to echo what Rebecca was saying about recycled earthen bodies. But I really hope people will not use this group as a substitute and not participate in recycled earthen bodies, because that's kind of the supporting the foundation thing.
Yes.
Be one of the people that cares for someone.
Yes.
And I'm really happy though about Jim's suggestion, because when the recycled earthen body started, I really wanted to have it so that experienced people and you know, I worked with a lot of the people that were real challenging and just reflect all kind of stuff. And you know, I just decided it was a great facilitation practice and I just didn't want to.
Yeah, and a practice opportunity, not to
work through your partners and go through reflecting again. Such a great thing.
Yeah. No, I hope people continue to see that as service. The working with the new kids, because that's the only, you know, we have people who have three or four partners and they're both inexperienced, and at the end of it, they still don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But one go round with somebody who's really experienced, and they're in much better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another thing that I was looking at this morning is that I want to come to the Southeast and maybe do like a 3-day retreat, something like that, if we can find a spot. And it with senior folks, you know, mm-hmm. old-timers, and start planning our Southeast Sangha system. So we can be in touch about that. All right. Is now a good time for Penny to read? Mm-hmm. Are you? Do you feel your heart?
Gosh, time for that promise update on where we are at the Sangha. Here is what is happening. In addition to the email conversation, we've had 4 conference calls to discuss this new direction. On March 21st, at the Palo Alto Zen Center, we will conduct our first ever workshop that will be available through Skype. Imagine that. You can attend the workshop without having to fly to California. We've received lots of questions, ideas, and special offers that we are gathering into categories to be addressed. We are also attempting to send along some of the more creative and inspiring submissions we've received. Recently, we sent out a request for feedback on the low sign-ups for the March 21st workshop, and many of you responded with helpful information. Here is one of those responses. When you asked why I wasn't going to attend the retreat, I sat with the question for quite a while. The only answer that kept arising was, I don't know. I decided to do dominant hand, non-dominant hand journaling and ask myself the question. I included a bit of the conversation in all its conditioning, revealing glory for love. Mm-hmm. D.H. why don't you want to attend Sherry's Adversity Opportunity Retreat? MH, it seems like too much. DH, what is too much about it? MH, I'm sick of talking and hearing about adversity. DH, you're sick of hearing and talking about adversity? MH, yes, it makes me scared. I just want to pretend it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. DH, the fear or the adversity? MH, both. If I pretend everything is okay, I'm not as scared. Going to the retreat makes it all too real. I'd rather stay home and Skype into reality. Mm-hmm. 9 minutes later, we received the registration for the workshop. That is the power of practice and the courage of sauna and action. We were all feeling heartened in filling out the numbers. We now have about 5% of our mailing list, 234 people, making a monthly financial contribution to keep the doors open. We are aware that there are people on the mailing list who do not consider themselves part of sauna. And as with the person we email above.
That was in parentheses, isn't it?
Yeah. And as with the person we email above, we are wondering if perhaps there are a lot of people out there trying to avoid the whole mess, state of the world, collapsed economy, voices in their head. By taking the, if I pretend everything is okay, I'm not scared, approach. It would help us to know what's going on. Looking at the numbers, we wonder, do so few people value the practice? Mm-hmm. Are people simply believing the voices of, deprivation and not enough? Is everyone depending on everyone else to keep the doors open? Will folks donate when they get around to it? Is fear guiding people's decisions? If we have more information about why our mailing list is so large, but the number of monthly donations is so small, we would try to offer assistance. We wouldn't try to make you see the error of your ways. That's not how we think, not our modus operandi. We would do what we always do. Help you choose freedom if you ask us to. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to our next offering. What the voices are saying now. A workshop via conference call, parentheses, joining the call is simple and easy, with Dave McKay, senior monk, March 25th, April 1st, April 5th, Wednesday evenings, 5:30 to 6:30 Pacific, 8:30 to 9:50 Eastern, 7:30 to 8:50 Central, 6:30 to 7:50 Mountain. Cost, whatever feels right for you at this time. In parentheses, monthly donors are already covered. Register, link. If you would like to participate, please register and make your donation. You will receive a confirmation email with 1, the conference call, calling number, and 2, the exercise for the first class. Mm-hmm.
Feedback, Cameron?
I think it's beautiful.
Okay.
Didn't feel too hit him over the head, or
it felt so generous and open and inviting, really. It was nothing like, you know, you meet bad people, why aren't you giving? It's more like, it was very much upon a process and what can we do to facilitate knowing more about what's going on. I thought it was very, I mean, it's so much so it makes me feel emotional.
Okay. Thank you. Please.
I thought it's brilliant. The dominant hand and the non-dominant hand, that speaks to every single person who's doing that back and forth and facilitating. I mean, understanding what receptive listening is, it just spoke to everything. And so I'm unclear if this is feedback or a better idea. One of the things that jumped out in the list of after the conversation of are we listening to voices in the head or adverse, something like, do we not want to talk about the state of the world, the voices in the head? I would like to hear voices in the head first. That's, I think, the one that people don't think about as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, oh, I was thinking, I don't want to hear this first, and then I will want to talk about the world or the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that felt like the more important one.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just going to go on with Rebecca.
I loved it. I love the questions. I knew it was very hard opening. There was a moment when you said we
were heartened, we were feeling heartened until we got the numbers. I thought you meant the numbers for the Palo Alto thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
To
keep the doors open campaign.
Yeah, and then okay. There is another numbers a little later, a couple of sentences later, I think, that could use the proper formula. Whatever numbers you're talking about, you just can say.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure, you don't
want to
subscribe
or you got it? Oh, yeah. If you would, that'd be great. Do you want this?
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know why I keep thinking about this, but it popped in my mind when you said when we read the numbers and it was 234 people, and what my mind went to, it's like it'd be so curious to hear like how many people listen to the podcast. Like, well, we were having this hard because only 200, and yet we're getting 600 people that supply to the podcast.
So that's really interesting.
Because I always thought it's amazing the podcasts are free. You know, I kept thinking there should be like a yearly subscription for that. Mm-hmm. But even to make that kind of interesting, huh, 200 for people when you know.
That is a really good point. I'm curious about that myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Good. Yeah, supporting. Rebecca touched on it, but you know, I was wondering why we had to wait for Clark to close down a bit because I found it a very good. And
well, sometimes you know when your heart's really open, if they can see anything, you know.
I would like those people really just come in from work and the kids are screaming out and hungry and. What do those people want?
I just don't like that, you know. We'll do what we've always been, support you towards freedom.
Just great. Okay, good.
Well, I just want to say the same thing. I mean, it was brilliant. And just that same thing, the way that it shows that it expresses concern for all, you know, for us, the mothership, you know, as well as for anybody reading it. And I think it is an expression of the integrity of our practice.
Good. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, because as we keep saying to people, you know, we technically don't need to do this.
Right.
There are a lot of other things that we could be doing besides being in spiritual community with people all over the world. So we just need to know. You know, it's like if you don't need us, then we'll pursue other things. But if you do, we need to know that, and then we need to be in relationship.
And then we're right here.
Yeah.
And I had that same, took me a minute to catch up
with the numbers
and the power of the church.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Karen. That piece of reiterating why we're asking about the donations, there's a piece where it was reassuring to hear, you know, this isn't about having you do something. Just let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
That can be really reassuring for people coming home, kind of like, hey, just want more money.
Right.
Yeah. But that was a really effective part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we have heard from some people that, you know, that they're really embarrassed by the amount of money they feel like they can send in. And
well, that's what conditioning told me to do.
Yeah.
Well, heck. It's a lot for me, mm-hmm. So shut up.
You can come up with more.
Can we quote Karen on
that? I also thought it was really interesting. I love that there's another model of how people might do it themselves without being at the percentage. And also, what I appreciate about it is that it's just simply, well, here's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it truly is. This is our present moment. This is where we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any insight for us into where we are?
Yeah.
I just thought it was just, I mean, there's no conditioning, there's just we are.
Great. Yeah. You know, the kind of thing that makes me a religious type is the fact that, you know, I was trying to write this thing,
person sends this, and it happens like that. Oh, it's like, can you imagine that without that? You know, it's just such a, it's so perfect.
And the fact that she then signed up 9 minutes later, you know, it's just messy.
And even one step further, there are probably 100 of those in the inbox that we have yet to even look at. And that one, for some reason, I clicked on that one.
Was there something else there?
No.
Super girl, because I really like this feeling. I like that you put that in there about the person who has to come that way. Because it felt like there was a room. I mean, it was also impressive.
I don't know why I'm pushing away.
That's true.
I mean, there might be people out there, you know, as soon as we send this out, we're going.
I'll repeat the word that's been done. I thought it was brilliant. I had the same experience of like the transition from Palo Alto. And I'm also wondering to what, how many people who receive this are familiar with dominant, non-dominant writing?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, when, like, I gave that out on the radio show last week as a homework assignment to somebody, and that's about how I explain it. You know, let your dominant hand ask a question and then let your non-dominant hand answer. So I bet they can, you know, figure it out even if they don't really get it. You know, if they just did what she did, you know, why don't you want to go?
Well, I think it's terrific, and was just sort of blown open when you got to the 9 minutes later. That was just so moving. And does Dave's workshop, the workshop he's going to be doing, have a title? Because I realize that that section is one that I
it's what the voices are saying now.
Yeah, it's when you visually see it, it's laid out quite, you know, the titles and quotes. And then it
spoke
out all of it underneath.
Yeah, because I think it was just because I was still caught up in what came before that I couldn't quite absorb what was being offered in that.
Thank you.
Glenn, I thought it was brilliant. I really, it's great. And I noticed there's a part of me that's wondering from the contributions that have been made from the 230 people, how are we doing with regard to keeping the doors open? I don't know if that's me from a competition side, just that's relevant information.
How are we doing?
Yeah.
Dismally.
But that would be useful, I think, too.
Yeah, that will probably be in the next one. That amount of money actually comes to about $10,000. I think it's about $11,000 for Africa, Living Compassion, and the Zen Center. It costs us about $30,000 a month. So we're bringing in 11, and it costs us about $30,000. So we're going down. The ship, mothership, is sinking fast. And ironically, you know, if we take out the people who are on the mailing list who are not, you know, really, if we dropped it down to 4,000 people, and all of those 4,000 people gave $5. We'd be